This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watchers, program number 782. I might mention for new listeners, there's always new listeners, the old timers remember these names, some don't. When I talk about Theodore Shackley or John Singh Laub or Richard Secord or Albert Hakim or Thomas Kleins, I don't expect you to remember all those names or where they weave in and out of these stories. Many of you know you can't. It's very difficult unless you have books or make a study. But what I try to do when I throw out these names is to give you an overview how certain events where each one of these people played a very important individual part web together sometimes, and never has there been a suit filed like the one filed May 29th where they went fishing and brought in a whole hunk of people that have been working for the National Security Council in secret as their agents ever since the murder of John Kennedy. That's when they got their power. That's when the national security escalated its deceptions to the Congress with Lyndon Johnson in office and then with Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission and Jimmy Carter from the Trilateral Commission and Admiral in the Navy. He went to West Point. He wasn't an Admiral, but graduated, not West Point, Annapolis. And the takeover of the country gained power when Nixon was in, of course, with Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski under Jimmy Carter, and Reagan thought he was home free. Now, just getting back to that suit, the London Times had an article May 4th, 1986, United States probes ContraLink in drug and murder plot. American authorities are investigating reports that the Nicaraguan Contra rebels in Central America and their supporters have taken part in drug trafficking, arms smuggling, conspiracy to murder an American ambassador, and to bomb his embassy. And it goes into violations, obviously violations of the law. This article says the Sandinista regime also is violently anti-Semitic, and that would fit in with John Singh Laub's World Anti-Communist League, and they're deeply involved in the international drug traffic. Now watch the Congressional Committee as they look for 10 to 30 million, which is missing. And now it seems transactions of weapons went into maybe $1 billion, and some say $2 billion. It goes into the drug money and the international drug trade, and this is where we're going. The London Times said in the past, Reagan officials have denied the Contras were involved in illegal activities. In a recent letter from Elliot Abrams, the Assistant Secretary of State for Inter-American Affairs, to Charles Stenholm, a Texas congressman and a Contra supporter, the administration admitted it had information about rebel involvement in drug dealing. The letter said this was done without the authorization of resistance leaders, but congressional investigators disagree. They said they have compiled evidence linking the top Contra leaders and American citizens known to have worked with American intelligence in smuggling and other criminal operations. The investigation is centered in Costa Rica with the Nicaraguan Democratic Force, the FDN, the largest group backed by the United States. They are under scrutiny because the clandestine group used air bases, airstrips in Costa Rica, and airstrips designed by the United States government. And they work with Cuban-Americans in Miami, linked to the terrorist organization Omega 7, and with the 2506 Brigade, which carried out the 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. And then we go from Cuba to the murder of John Kennedy and the use of these people in various ways as part of the assassination of John Kennedy. Investigators are looking into a shipment in March 1985 of 6 tons of ammunition from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, by way of El Salvador to base camps in Costa Rica. The supplies came from private donations and the CIA and left Florida without customs inspection. Jesus Garcia, a Cuban-American who helped collect some of the supplies, said they included boxes of plastic explosives that would be used to bomb the American embassy. The links to a supposed conspiracy last year to bomb the American embassy in San Jose, Costa Rica, and to assassinate Louis Tam, the ambassador. This is from the London Sunday Times. Contras in Costa Rica said the idea was that terrorist acts could be blamed on the Sandinistas, and this goes back to Admiral Poindexter and Mr. Colonel North, and they would therefore provide the pretext for direct American intervention into Nicaragua. The conspirators apparently also planned to collect $1 billion bounty offered by Colombia cocaine barons to kill Tams because the American ambassador to Costa Rica now, when he was living in Colombia, had a crackdown on cocaine trafficking into the United States. He was American ambassador, and the story of the drugs, the assassination attempt, and so forth is very well described in the London Times. Also, May 31st, 2 days after the suit was filed, there was an AP story in the Washington Post. The CIA was behind the toppling of Mr. Eden Pastora. He was one of the people who was bombed, and this allegation that three people, they were killed, three were killed and 17 were injured. The purpose of that bombing was to kill Eden Pastora, and this story from the Washington Post tells about he had a rival group as against the CIA officer that was running the Contras. Pastora said the cover name of the officer was Armando, previously known as a CIA contact. Pastora's commander's military aide said that they would join the U.S.-sponsored group. There was a conflict of two kinds of groups, Pastora and his group, and some wanted to join the CIA group. Some deserted Pastora, and that led to the assassination attempt of Pastora. Rebel officials said that UNO's Costa Rican base forces recently received 5 shipments of arms to entice Pastora to get him on their side, but he wouldn't go with them, and he declined to discuss further. He said Armando is an American CIA officer. He's attached to the United States Embassy in Costa Rica, so it would be easy to kill the American ambassador at Costa Rica right there and blame and leave evidence and Russian guns and so forth, for blame it on the Sandinistas. And Armando offered military aid to Pastora if he would join their group. He refused, and because of that, they tried to kill him, and the result now is a $23.8 million suit naming Mr. William Shackley, who's president of a Washington-based risk analysis firm, and those Theodore Shackley, rather, not William Shackley, Theodore Shackley and his associates, and that was from the Washington Post, May 31st, 1983. Now, to get to another subject which is separate, but not separate at all, and interestingly related, because everything I've had on World Watches for the past 16 years is there because it is related to other events, or if you can't see the connection now, I hope you'll see it in the present or in the future. This next Monday, on December the 8th, 1 week from tonight, is the anniversary of the murder of John Lennon. The night before he was killed, that was a Monday, the Sunday night when I was on the air, I was describing the assassination teams that were in place for when Ronald Reagan came into office and listed them, and I'll review them with you next week. But that was it seems like a long time ago. It isn't really a long time ago since John Lennon was murdered in 1980. It was in December, 1 month before Ronald Reagan took oath of office. The attorney for Mark David Chapman, Chapman was charged with the murder of John Lennon, was Jonathan Mark, M-A-R-K. Now, the Wall Street Journal today, and what goes around comes around, Wall Street Journal, December the 1st, 1986, is describing the sting operation of persons involved in sending weapons to Iran. Simultaneously, 17 people were involved in sending them while Ronald Reagan was sending them, and he had this group arrested. It involved the late Cyrus Hashemi, who was murdered in July, and Mr. William Kunstler was saying on the radio and TV this week that they're going to exhume him because he was killed in London. It involves the attorney for Mr. Adnan Khashoggi, the well-known Saudi Arabian that I'll do more about later. But the Wall Street Journal mentions that one of the defendants in this case, and that's an international web of its own, the Guri Eisenberg from Israel, a key person in this particular arms for Iran, the attorney for Guri Eisenberg is Jonathan Marks, the same attorney that represented Mark David Chapman in the murder of John Lennon. And if you think that is a coincidence, I'll go back to things that I had on my broadcast as soon as John Lennon was murdered within the next week. I referred to the money game, that the possibility that came out of the Guggenheim Bank in Australia. And when that closed up, it opened branches in Saudi Arabia with Mr. Bernie Houghton. It involved our top admirals and generals. And Guggenheim had branches in Hawaii and a Hawaiian tourist agency. And it was out of Hawaii that Mark David Chapman met the woman that he would marry. I believe it was a marriage of convenience, of course. And linked the possibility of the Green Berets and counterintelligence in the role that Mark David and Chapman had, and even brought up questions of the Jonestown lease and the events that were taking place at the time Mark David Chapman was traveling around the world being trained as the assassin for John Lennon. And I also was marking in those broadcasts the ability of Jim Jones to train people to create assassinations and signed documents claiming that they did these assassinations. That was part of his group. In September 23, John Paisley was murdered, and he had direct links to Lee Harvey Oswald in the Soviet Union in Navy intelligence and also to the Guggenheim Bank in Australia. And I tied in the connections of Venezuela and Jonestown and Guggenheim Bank and Hawaii and Zurich, Switzerland and London and Lebanon. The travels of Mark David Chapman hitting a lot of political bases 6 years ago, as soon as John Lennon was murdered, 6 years ago this week. An article that a long listener to World Watcher sent me way back in those days in 1981. This is from the New York Post. The lawyer defending the assassin of John Lennon has asked for a return of the book, The Catcher in the Rye. He wanted to make this a motive for killing John Lennon. The lawyer is Jonathan Mark. And also from the Post, just a few days earlier, February the 5th, 1981, there was an article about the Lufthansa aeroplane, the robbery that was possible at the airport in New York where $5.8 million was missing. And that was a convoluted web. You'd have to go back to the broadcast I did in 1981, the tapes and the sheets. But the attorney for the Lufthansa, which I linked directly to Venezuela, and incidentally it was out of Venezuela that Mr. Cirelli's left the jail to go up to El Salvador to be one of the persons working with Mr. Hassenfuss at the time that his plane went down in Nicaragua. The man who blew up Air Cuba was allowed out of the Venezuela jail. He walked out, and there were links of Venezuela to a lot of activities and change of the intelligence community, national security operations, CIA operations. But the common denominator between a lot of these, the Lufthansa that I talked about, that $5.8 million robbery, and the John Lennon murder, and now the attorney for the story, the Iranians that have been charged, Iranians, Americans, and Israeli general, and so forth. The attorney for Mr. Eisenberg is the same Chapman, and these people are assigned together for reasons. They work with certain cases like Mr. Kunstler and Ramsey Clark and Mark Lane. They're called in to cover what are the broad conspiracy trials, to keep them on track, to get a little bit here, give a little bit there, tie up most of it, and for whatever matters, never make the connections. That's the crime, to make the connections. Now, as soon as John Lennon was murdered in 1980, before Reagan was sworn in on the broadcast, I was talking about his location, Mark David Chapman, in military bases. I cited Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, where Theodore Shackley had brought persons from Vietnam, the Laotian Vietnamese tribesmen, the opium dealers, the narcotic traffickers, and they were trying to set up, and this involves Richard Allen and William Casey and Robert Vesco. They were going to use the Turk Island or even Guyana for a base for these opium people who would be brought to the United States from Southeast Asia. And I cited the location of those Laotians where Mark David Chapman was, which is a military base. Also, he came back from Lebanon. He was over in Lebanon, and he was at Covenant College, a Presbyterian college in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was with a particular woman, Jessica Blankenship, and he takes a trip around the world and flies to Georgia and then back to Hawaii, and then he sees her, Jessica, and who knows who else he saw in Atlanta, Georgia. Then he takes a plane and he goes right to the Dakota apartment of John Lennon, and he says, Mr. Lennon, and he turns around and says, yes, and then Lennon is dead. In 1975, Mark David Chapman worked at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, that military fort, with a man named David Moore. In 1978, Mark David Chapman was with David Moore in Geneva, Switzerland, a very adept person to travel all around. And Jonathan Mark, his attorney, is trying to say that the clue to his insanity is a book called Catcher in the Rye. Isn't that pathetic to try and blame that book for the reason of the murder of John Lennon, the J.D. Salinger book? In 1975 to 1976, Mark David Chapman returns from 6 months in Beirut, Lebanon, and you see what a nest that is. You can appreciate the Lebanese connections more now. On December the 5th and 6th, he returns to Jessica Blankenship, at the Presbyterian College from Lebanon, and then December the 5th and 6th, he's with her in Atlanta, Georgia, before he goes up to the hotel apartment in New York City. He goes to New York on December the 7th and kills John Lennon on the 8th. 1978, Mark David Chapman left the United States and went to Hawaii, and from there he took a trip around the world. He also collected art, quite an expensive art collection, and I cited his location in Tennessee and all the espionage relationships of possibilities he could have seen, and the fact that Nguyen Bank had a travel agency in Hawaii called Pacific Holding Company, and that the woman that he was to allegedly marry or meet up with when he took this trip, or the cover story for his being or his central control, worked at a travel agency, and he was in South Korea. And he was with persons in Fort Chaffee that would have access to Frank Turpel and Mr. Theodore Shackley, people whose names are in the news now. And I also cited the relationship of David Moore in Geneva, Switzerland in 1978. And it was in Geneva where headquarters were set up by Edwin Wilson and Thomas Kleins, an organization called TERSAM that had a lot to do with arming the PLO and killing Anwar Sadat to make Mubarak president of Egypt. So 6 years ago, I was talking about Theodore Shackley, Edwin Wilson, and Wilson and Turpel tie right into Mr. Hakim, who's a defendant in the suit of the Christie Institute. Shackley is a defendant there. Edwin Wilson is in jail. Robert Vesco and Frank Turpel are living in Cuba, which is the craziest story. Thomas Kleins is a defendant in the Christie suit. So I think it's interesting that 6 years ago, I was naming people on the air, on World Watchers, responsible and part of the murder of John Lennon. And now they are defendants in a suit going down in Central America. And also, the Nguyen Bank was a large narcotic shuffling, big drug money coming in from Southeast Asia, a bank that suddenly closed under circumstances that I detailed on other programs. And these relationships of narcotics and gun running and overthrowing countries, this case such as Nicaragua, and these teams work with Angola or Afghanistan, or trying to overthrow Iran and putting the Shah's son back into office. These people have been doing what they've been doing since World War II, when they started their operations trying to overthrow Albania, which wasn't successful, and overthrew Mossadegh and put the Shah of Iran in. What you're seeing isn't anything new. Reagan thought he could get away with it. What's new is the awareness of journalists, the awareness of laws being broken, the accumulation of material, lawsuits being filed, and eventually this stuff had to come out. It just couldn't be kept in forever. And I've also cited before, and I want to give you the reference again, story by Jonathan Quitney in the Wall Street Journal, two-part story. This was published August the 8th, 1985. That was just this last year, almost a year and a half ago. And he tells about Francesco Pazienza. Now, Pazienza was part of that secret Seize Me that I've referred to, that secret part of the Italian government, and we have the equivalent in our National Security Council. And Pazienza worked, he was head of the U2, worked with Lucio Gelli. He's back in Italy now. And the article says, Pazienza and Michael Ledeen. Michael Ledeen, to remind you, To bring a current besides the past, Ladine went with Mr. McFarland and Colonel North, to Iran, and were meeting with persons in Iran. And I cited Ladine hurrying to get the Defense Department to send weapons less than cost to Iran in a big hurry. In 1980, Mr. Pazienza said he and Ladine visited Alexander Haig at his offices. He would soon become Secretary of State. He was in the office of United Technology December the 9th, 1980, and that was one day after John Lennon was murdered. Now, Ladine, as I cited last week, is part of that Georgetown Center, part of the disinformation in Europe in 1976. He was behind the story of Aja, the Bulgarian connections and the disinformation there. Ladine was with Robert Brown at the Grenada. This was part of the Poindexter North operation. And going back now, he was in P2, Francesco Pazienza, the Italian fascist, the SS Gestapo group, not just the right wing, but the hardcore Nazi group, Pazienza and Licio Gelli. Pazienza is with Haig in the day after John Lennon was murdered. December the 8th, he was killed. December the 9th, they went, according to Jonathan Quitney, they talked and chatted about friends and discussed the outlines of Libya spies and Libya terrorist camps. This was the day after Lennon was murdered. And I think the implications of their being there are important, considering that Ladine and Henry Kissinger and Pazienza were part of Seize Me's secret organization that I cited a few weeks ago. And that secret Seize Me that was in Italy, set up by Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig, and Ladine could then be moved into the United States and help overthrow or take over the United States. Lieutenant Colonel North from the Marines went to the National Security Council in 1981, as soon as Ronald Reagan was president, and Pazienza and Ladine, the protege or the one above North, do the think tank part of the North operation, was with Haig a few weeks earlier. And also, while there was an embargo on sending arms to Iran all this while, United Technology, the company that Haig left when he became Secretary of State, is identified as the arms manufacturer that was right over the table sending arms from Canada, not the United States, but it's Haig's company, United Technology, arming Iran all along. Now, as North in 1981 came to the National Security Council as Director of Political and Military Affairs. In March 81, 3 months later, as I mentioned before, these are the dates when we began, under the table, sending arms to Iran. Israel did, and Ronald Reagan did it, and they tried to stop the gate, the floodgate, at 1985. It started in 1981, and this can be documented. In January 81, Richard Allen is the National Security Advisor, was having the president call Iran. I think I mentioned this before. He said on television, we called and said the deal is off because his friend wasn't sent home with the other hostages. March the 30th, Ronald Reagan was shot, 1981, and George Bush and Alexander Haig would have taken over the government. And Bush has been linked directly to Mr. Lieutenant Colonel North, to the Iran gate, to the Contra gate. And we were going to have another coup in March 81, even though the president survived. They still have run the National Security Council. He's a figurehead. May 1981, John Paul II was shot, and in come Alexander Haig from NATO and Henry Kissinger in the P2, Francesco Pazienza, the people that met in 1980, December the 9th, 1980, in the offices of United Technology, Haig's offices, and Frank Turpel, who trained Aja, the same man that worked with Mr. Hakim in the sending arms to Iran. Turpel trained Aja, and along came the story of the Bulgarian Russians that tried to kill the Pope. These were the creators of it. This is Admiral Poindexter's doing. He wasn't in office at the time. Mr. Robert McFarland was there. First, Mr. Clark, Judge Clark, Reagan's old crony at the National Security. But Richard Allen was the National Security Advisor. He wasn't kicked out yet at this time. And Richard Allen started the Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies. It came, I told you, from money from Germany. Allen was a National Security Advisor. Bush was Vice President Haig and Pazienza Ledeen and all of them. Going back, it's so interesting to see the names in the news now. And for those of you who can't remember, and who have religiously taken World Watchers and have kept your sheets, thumb back to those years, starting in 1980 when Reagan was going to be inaugurated. Start with the murder of John Lennon and go on through these years and look at the sheets and have a few chuckles as you see these names in the news, because Edwin Wilson, Frank Turbel worked with Hakim, and they're very much in the news. I'll be doing more on them individually. Now, the troubles began with this organization as soon as Reagan was in office. There's a French newsletter that gives it's a monthly newsletter that gives a lot of information on the intelligence community. And they published this as part of their newsletter in 1986, January 1986, called U.S. Nicaragua Intervention on the Extreme Right. The Reagan administration, and in particular Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, have been responsible for organizing Secret Service, secret private financial support for the Contra rebels in Nicaragua. The intention of the campaign is to circumvent congressional control and the limits placed upon the CIA and other official institutions. Now the French television channel called TF1 broadcast twice on the 17th and on the 22nd of July 1985, La Guerre en Sous-Traitance, that's the name of the program, that describes for the first time, and this is July 85, it describes for the first time the complete composition of a secret panel assembled by the Reagan administration to direct the unofficial war. The panel consists of General Edward G. Lansdale. I don't know how he's avoided these suits. He was so active in the Vietnam War and in the big daddy of these covert operations. Edward Luttwak from the Georgetown Center of Strategic and International Studies, the man who wrote Coup d'etat on how to overthrow countries. Dr. Cecil Doss, and I'll give you biographies of these next week. Dr. Sam Sarkisian, Andrew Messing. You saw Andrew Messing if you watched TV this week when Colonel North was fired. Messing was on every program saying either he's over North, I guess he arranges the money, so he's over North, or vice versa. But he's his darling, his pet. Ronald Reagan calls him a hero. And I'll do more on Messing next week. Lieutenant Colonel John Wagnerstein, good German name. General Harry Adderholt, he's one of the big funders of the Contras. General John Singlaub, who's a defendant in the Christic suit, he's the chairman of this group. This panel first met in April of 1983, and I've had that in my files for a long time. In April 83, and this is important, and they met at the Pentagon. At the Pentagon. So the Defense Department, Caspar Weinberger, the president can't say they didn't know. They met for the express purpose of throwing out what the Congress had called the Boland Amendment in our Defense Department. So the think tanks from Georgetown Center, the people like Luttwak and so forth, give it to people like Adderholt and Singlaub, and they all met. And this is another punchline to this story. They met at the Pentagon under the direction of Undersecretary of Defense Fred Ickley, I-C-L-E, Undersecretary of Defense in 1985. And the last word I had on the notorious Fritz Kramer, the plans officer of the Pentagon, the mentor of Henry Kissinger and associates. Oh, and I haven't had a chance to go into the committee, the three-member commission that Reagan is appointed to look into the National Security Council. One is John Tower. I'll do more on this later. The other is Mr. Brent Scowcroft, the vice president of Kissinger Associates. Scowcroft. Fritz Kramer and Fred Ickley. He works with Fred Ickley and also Daniel Graham of High Frontiers. Daniel Graham is on the board of John Singlaub's organization. And the name Fred Ickley is very important. The financial link between the panel and the network is Bunker Hunt from Texas, and he's the one I said set up the assassination group described in the book Spooks, the assassination teams. Bunker Hunt, John Singlaub, and Adderholt. The others assure the link between these organizations and the extreme right, World Anti-Communist League. Now, that's just a little bit of an overview. It was hard in 1 hour to decide how do you summarize all the news of the week. But I think I've given you a fair, mind-boggling overview. I hope you taped it. If you didn't, you can order the tapes and get a little inkling of some of these people and their interconnections to the past and how their names are surfacing now in that exciting lawsuit filed by Mr. Sheehan and in the relationship of these people of arms to Iran, illegally funding the Contras and always hoping to overthrow countries for their own personal profit. Mr. North said this week at the bottom of one article, "All I want now is to make a lot of money and send my four kids to college." This is the thing that got Richard Nixon in trouble at Watergate when he said on the tapes raising $1 million for E. Howard Hunt would be no trouble. Well, this is Mae Bressel. You can be sure we'll be doing more on this subject next week, and I'll try to update as much as I can in 1 hour, do the best I can, and follow these threads wherever they go.